What is the best way to build your brand in 2022? Spoiler alert, you're listening to one. It's podcasting right here, right now. It's On Air Brands.
You're now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brands podcast. I am Todd Genetasio, along with my guest host today, Mr. Eric Cabral.
What's going on, Todd?
I love the high energy you're bringing. You know, you teased this a little bit in the last time you were on, but right before we jumped, you're like doing some jumping jacks there, getting hyped up, man. What's going on? Talk to me about what you're doing.
Dude, I'm excited to be here. So glad Amber couldn't make it. internet issues. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, I am very curious what the topic was going to be. And I know, like, you like to adjust the content in my favor. So I have home court advantage here. But I'm happy to talk about anything and everything, specifically podcasting. But yeah, I am curious what you guys were going to chat about. But yeah, happy to be here.
Thanks. I think today's the top of the list of our next episode was going to be mental blocks for podcasters and how to overcome them.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So you guys tune in. Make sure you're subscribed on airbrands.com/show to catch that one next week when Amber's internet provider is hopefully more stable.
100%.
But yeah, so today, I mean, you know, we're approaching the end of the year. I know, you know, usually we like to have these episodes evergreen and the content itself will be, but, you know, I think something that I think everybody needs to understand when, you know, as business owners and entrepreneurs is that all basically the last like 10 years of the internet has given a cheat code to smaller businesses, right? Direct connection to your target audience, reaching people faster, makes it easier for people to buy quickly and all that kind of stuff. And a couple things are starting to change in the landscape. Some of them from legal and compliance issues, some of them from the actual platforms like Facebook and Apple changing the way that they allow businesses to actually advertise what they have and don't have access to anymore. And also the buyer behavior and consumer behavior, which is really the most important thing as business owners we need to understand. And when buying online was a novelty, people were hyped to do it just because they could do it. And now everyone is seeing slightly higher ad costs. It takes more effort in marketing. You have to be more creative with your offers and angles and how you connect with people. And the bottom line is it really comes down that you need to have an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you. And you need to just keep engaged with them over time so that when they're ready to buy, you're in their earbuds, in their inbox, and they remember to come to you. And, you know, something that I forget if it was Seth Godin or Gary Vaynerchuk said, I think it's Seth Godin, is just, you know, if Instagram were to go down one day, which it has in the past recently, are people going to think, how do I get the content I wanted to see from Eric today? And then go and look up Eric on Facebook or Google or YouTube or LinkedIn? Or are they just going to go about their day and not really care that they missed your stuff that day, right? And that's the kind of power that we want to bring to businesses going into 2022 is to build those connections and relationships so that the channel and platform don't matter, but that it's your audience actually wanting to see you, hear you, and be in touch with you.
Absolutely. There's literally no drawback to being consistent with your content. Mm-hmm. And whether that be a podcast, whether that you go live, whether that's you sharing through a blog, whatever format suits you, as long as you're consistent and you're doing it over time, like, because consistency creates habits, right? And mm-hmm. then once you have the habits, years go by and you're just doing it and you're doing it. And granted, there's going to be times where, you know, you fall off for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So recently I've been very busy. The business is growing. I got sick. You know, I got the cooties. And then was out of commission. I don't think I posted anything, honestly, over the past 4 to 6 weeks personally. got a lot backed up here, but what's happened is during that time recently, I went to an event, Todd, our wonderful Learn and Grow events over at Renault.
Yeah, so I did see pictures of that. I don't know if it was from you or somebody else who was there, but it looked awesome. Yeah,
I've got videos. I got stuff I got to share. But here's the thing. There's a really cool guy there. His name's Ketan. And we were all talking and chatting and, of course, drinking wine. And he started literally quoting a post that we had put up 3 years ago.
Whoa.
3 years ago. He was like, I remember when you were in New York City, you were at a comedy club, you and Josh were having fun. And I said to myself, I really like these guys. I'm going to start watching them. And eventually I will invest with them, which he did right away. He's part of all our projects. He's a big brand champion. He's on the West Coast, folks. We're on the other side. He's on the left coast. Becoming part of someone's subconscious when they make that decision, they're ready to rock and roll.
That's exactly the point, is that we got to get people paying attention and wanting to see us, right? And the best way is consistency. And you know, there's a saying, and I don't know where this originated from. I'll give props to Nick Peterson. He's the one I heard say it first, is that the process is the shortcut, right? And so what I often, this has happened with a few different clients and potential clients over the last like 3 to 6 months. They've come to me and said, you know, we want to, you know, we need help with our marketing. We haven't been, you know, we haven't dedicated, you know, budget resources, blah, 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 to marketing. We've been primarily sales, and we need to grow. We want to grow, you know, what can we do, and et cetera. And we go through the whole, you know, whole rigmarole of educating them and et cetera. And what comes down to is that they're getting all of their sales, all of their investors, all of their new customers from their existing network and audience, from their existing email list, from their existing YouTube subscribers, from their existing network of people. And the question that they're asking is, they're looking for the shortcut to, how do we get more people to buy from us or to give us money at the bottom of this process, which is what they are seeing, right? But what they're not recognizing is the people who are giving the money, investing and buying, et cetera, are coming from the audience. So the idea, the approach, the strategy is not, how do we create a path from strangers to give us money? It is, how do we get strangers into this pool of people who then become our investors and customers? And that's really what matters now, is building up that, you know, stocking your pond, so to speak, and building up the brand equity that you have with the ideal customers that you want to do business with. And then your sales will come through that pond. But trying to shortcut that is, you know, you're trying to catch lightning in a bottle with some random people who might be willing to invest or purchase quickly without a relationship, without understanding your credibility or your expertise and all that kind of stuff. But really, the process is the shortcut of, let's stock the pond and continue to fish in our pond, because that's where our sales come from. And that's something that I want to help more people understand going into 2022, is building that audience and being able to stock your pond is how you're going to grow your business. It's not a shortcut around the pond. It is stocking the pond first.
I love that.
You know, it goes back to, like, if you remember, I forget if it was last year or 2 years ago, Kylie Jenner, what's her name? Kylie Jenner, I think, right? Whatever. But became the youngest self-made billionaire in the history of the world. I forget, 19 or 20 years old, right? Mm. And so a lot of people wanted to dispute that and say she's not self-made and blah, 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 blah. Now, this is the beauty of what she did, though, is she's not self-made where she went out and built up her own audience from scratch by herself. She was on the TV show. I think that's where they started, mm-hmm. right? They became famous for being famous. Basically, they had this reality show for keeping up with the Kardashians. I don't know how young she was when that started, but she basically grew up on TV and grew an audience that was following her and, mm-hmm. you know, loved her, raving fans and all that stuff. And then when she was 19 or 20 and became an entrepreneur, she did start, I don't know the details of this, so, you know, whatever, but she starts her own makeup company or whatever it was from scratch by herself or whatever the process was. And then she launches that to an audience of people who have been her raving fans for 10 years. And she becomes the youngest billionaire in history. And yes, she didn't build her audience from scratch by herself starting day zero like you and I have, but her business and her personal income, revenue streams, whatever, right? Like that's where it all came from, was because she had this massive raving fan base that she could launch a business to. And having that massive raving fan base is the key to long-term business success, you know, that I see right now going into the future. And if you want to have a raving fan base, you have to be producing content and putting it out in the form of a show. And, you know, like you always say, Eric, we define our podcast /show/livestream/whatever, you're regularly producing content.
Yeah. The Kylie Jenner, I'm guessing is her name. You know, it's
Rob,
the perfect
in here. You're in there, Demo. You're in the age group. Then. Yeah. You know,
check on that, Jamie. I mean, Rob, that's a little shout out to Rogan, but she already had established over years, right? Being on that show, like you said, people were aware of her, right? They liked her. And then eventually they trusted her when she created a brand and offered value into their life. So that's the thing. Stocking the pond, Todd, absolutely. Because anyone who, and everyone, including ourselves, when we say, you know, most of our businesses, word of mouth, referrals, that's fine. Mm-hmm. That's fine, right? Those are warm to hot leads, we say in the industry. Yep. Now, for anyone who's a marketer, anyone who's a business owner understands and knows that that is not the long-term sort of solution, right? Mm-hmm. You have to always have people in the pond. You have to always have people that are ready or listening and paying attention and have awareness for you and what you do, so that when they are ready, right, they're going to hit buy, or they're going to make the call, or they're going to reach out to you. So the thing is, what do we do in the meantime? As you know, I'll continue on this analogy. They're in the pond, right? They're there in the pool for you, but you're not necessarily looking in there and like checking and you know, creating, you know, ripples and waves. You're just, you know, that they're there because it's when they are ready, right? It's all about when they are ready to engage you. So the thing is, what do we do in the meantime as we wait? Is we continue to create. Just not just content for content's sake. We create content and we give value through the content. We educate, we inspire, we motivate, we do whatever it is that we do, whatever our strength and our zone of genius is. You put it out there for people to see you as a valuable asset that's helping them in whatever it is they're trying to do, so that when it's time, you are top of mind. You're in the top three. You're the number one for them to do business and want to do business with you, because you've been giving to them. Mm-hmm. For years and years and years. I mean, this is why we pull the trigger on you know, like I went to a Tony Robbins event recently. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to that guy from forever, right?
Since and the infomercial like, days.
Yeah, and it's like give. He's not looking at, so if he were paying attention to Eric Cabral, he's like, when is Eric going to buy something? When is he going to come to an event and buy my programs? Blah, blah, blah. You know, like literally 20 years going by. I mean, seriously, he's just, you just have to continuously put it out there and know that they will come.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's tricky too, because you do have to have a financial runway to keep your head above water while you're building this up, and eventually it comes in. But once the flywheel starts churning, right, like if it takes 90 days, 120 days, a year for someone to go from complete stranger to fan over time, and then eventually it's time for them to buy, you know, you do have to stay alive for that first time period until it starts coming in, right? And it'll come in slow, and then it's a flywheel. So there's compound growth over those things. But like you said, yeah, like, Tony Robbins didn't run a Facebook ad that said like, hey, I have a thing in Florida, Eric, come and, you know, come and buy the ticket. Like, you know, he's been giving and giving and giving, and you've been surrounded by him for basically our whole lives at this point. Right. Like, and then eventually you did buy there. And it was great. You know, another thing interesting, I heard on Friday, a very unique case study opportunity from this old marketing podcast, which I've shared a couple of their episodes in the past with you. They put out great stuff. It's the old Content Marketing Institute guys, Joe Polizzi and Robert Rose. And they have a show every Friday with great news. They cover news on content and media and stuff, and really great stuff. And they were talking about, they didn't mention what company it was because it was not really the main topic of their conversation. But, you know, it's very difficult for existing companies to measure their marketing and branding versus their sales, because once you kind of, it just becomes a kind of mishmash of like, well, who knows who came from, right? Like I said, you didn't go to the Tony Robbins event because you saw the Facebook ad. Like, you probably had a Facebook ad in your feed a couple times, but you went to TonyRobbins.com or whatever, or somebody sent it, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So your path to purchase was very, you know, all, it was like that line of success, you know, like everyone wants it to be a straight line, but it's really just a whole bunch of squigglies. And what they were talking about is, you know, it's very difficult often to measure these things, but I forget, I guess it was a company that launched a new division or something that was like brand new, where they had the opportunity to really, sorry, I got the Alexa chiming in the back here. But they had the opportunity to actually measure the effectiveness of these individual channels and the combined channels. And again, they weren't treating it as a case study. It was just an offhand conversation, but they said when they looked over all the initiatives, it was, you know, search engine optimization, there was Facebook ads, there was conference sponsorship, there was a handful of different things online and offline. And looking at each individual campaign, most of them failed. The best of them were flat. However, the business grew 300% over that time period. And so it was like, yeah, when you're putting out all this value into the world, there's not a direct line. There's not a, you know, you just need to kind of, you know, I know you and I are kind of woo-woo universe type people, but you have to put the value in the universe and trust and know that it's coming back. And that's kind of how marketing is becoming, which is funny because before the internet, that's what it was, right? You couldn't measure stuff the way you could with digital marketing, where everything was trackable. But now we're going back to a time where, like I said, legal and compliance things and the platforms and people want to be, you know, more secure with their data and privacy stuff. So we're, you know, that means costs are rising and we're not getting that data as cleanly as we were a few years ago. But it's still way better than it was before the internet. It's still way cheaper than it was before the internet or doing offline stuff. But it's also just understanding that we need to focus on adding value, being consistent, growing our audience, stocking the pond, and then knowing that because we're doing those things, and of course, like, you can't just then cross your fingers and hope people buy from you. You have to then offer a good value exchange, like what Kyrie, and we did get confirmation here from Rob, it's Kylie Jenner.
I think that's what we were saying.
Yeah. And so when you are able to then have a vehicle for exchanging the value, you've put so much value onto the world. Now there's a vehicle, they can purchase something from you. You're presenting them with an offer that's timely, relevant, and practical, which I've mentioned before being the best way to market and sell to someone is giving them something timely, relevant, and practical. You're able to capture and exchange the value that you've been putting out into the world.
Yeah. It's a thing that's easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's why they hire you. That's why they hire us. That's why they hire marketing teams. You should hire a marketing team if you can't, and you don't have the bandwidth and you don't have the wherewithal and you don't want to, you know, learn a new type of business. You want to outsource it to people that you trust. Now, here's the thing. We are in an age of marketing and branding and all of this stuff where it requires you, where it requires the owner to a degree or some representative of the company to create the content, because, you know, we work with small to mid-sized businesses. Now, if you're a large corporation like Nike or Adidas or whatever, you don't have a personal brand associated with you, right? You are a big corporate brand and you need to appeal to everyone. And it's difficult and it's challenging for them because they have to put out content that's somewhat generic, right? But fun and engaging and hopefully valuable. But the thing is, and there's also people like, say, Martha Stewart, right? Or Oprah Winfrey, where they are a personal brand, but they have a whole business behind them. Tony Robbins is in that category too. They are, to me, you know, one of the very early, before personal branding was a term, they were the personal brand. And they have, there's a three-dimensionality to them, right? People see them and they like them, love them, or hate them, right? But for us as small to mid-sized business owners, anyone who's listening to this, you have to step up to the plate, right? In order to be relevant, in order to succeed in this day and age in business, depending on what your type of business is, but the majority of businesses is, and every time you and I get together with Gary V, you know, let's drop $20 in a jar every time that happens. But, you know, it's all about every business needs to understand they also have to be a content creation media agency. Like they also have to understand they are their own marketing. And if you can't do that, if you can't figure it out, you can't build that, then you hire us. But the thing is, start somewhere.
You still have to be, and you still have to be a part of it.
And you have to be a part of it. And you have to put yourself out there, and you have to let people know you're a human being.
Exactly. And that's what makes podcasting and having a show of some sort and working with Eric and On Air Brands. That's why I believe, you know, I started the episode with the best way to build your brand and business in 2022 is by having a podcast. And this is exactly why, because all you have to do is show up, you know, as the thought leader that you are, right? As the business owner, and Eric's team can capture, produce, publish, promote all of that content for you. And you're just spending, you know, the 30, 60, 90 minutes, whatever it is, when you sit down to create, you know, to put your, you know, put your show on the air. And that's why I love On Air Brands as the name of the company that you started, right? Like I love the whole concept, name, everything about On Air Brands. And it's also the way that, like, you know, people like to do business with other people, you know, human, it's not B2B, B2C, it's H to H, human to human. And when you have a show, when you have a podcast, you're in people's earbuds, you're showing your face on the screen, right? Like you're building that, you're able to build the relationships at scale, right? And that's what's so powerful about having a show to tackle all of these obstacles in the modern marketing arena, in the modern sales arena, right? It's that, you know, you have to have know, like, and trust. You have to have a face. You have to put yourself out there. You have to be seen as a credible, you know, credible expert, but you also need to be likable. So people have to know you, obviously, and be consistent. And the show approach is it handles all of that stuff, right? And and like you said, you can DIY it, and you know, relatively affordably from a money standpoint, but it's going to take a lot of time and effort and figuring stuff out. Or you can invest in hiring a team, like in anything, you know, and hire On Air Brands and Eric to help you strategize your show, capture, you know, produce your show, publish it, get it out there so that you are doing these things. You are building a reputable brand. You're putting a face and voice to your business so that people know it's not just some hokey logo, right? That they're going to be doing business with, but they're going to be working with people. And I think that's just, it's awesome. We talk about it all the time. Your vibe attracts your tribe. And like you said, the guy who invested with you 3 years ago, he saw your content online and was like, dude, I vibe with these guys. I want to pay attention to them and see what's going on and ultimately end up doing business together.
Yeah. It's funny, right? How it's all sort of shifted. Cause you and I have been around long enough, to see the growth of what has become, you know, web. I think we're on 3.0 now.
Yeah, but we're getting into it.
Yeah, now we're getting into, you know, VR and NFTs and all of that is getting to it's at the point where we were when everyone was asking what's AOL,
what's
what's Netscape, what's the internet?
Was it Katie Couric and Gumbel sitting on the couch, right? What is internet?
Yeah, exactly. And everyone, I remember at the time having to tell most people AOL is not the internet, right? Everybody. Yeah. So we're kind of there in a very sort of simple, easy way to understand. It's difficult, right, to understand where we're evolving to, but that's another sort of growth area that's going to be critical to what we're doing. Now we're going to have to evolve, and it's our job as content creators and marketers to stay abreast, to stay on top of it, you know, so that we can now translate that to our clients and say, hey, okay, yeah, it's ready. Your brand is ready. I think TikTok is going to be something that you can leverage,
right?
Versus them having to go in, having
Dude,
them having
speaking
to go
of
mess
which.
Around.
Yeah. And you mentioned TikTok, and I'm sure that most of our audience, like me, would be like, I'm too old for TikTok. I don't need it. My audience isn't there, blah, blah, blah. Have you seen this at the XL girl?
Which one? Remind me.
Okay, so you haven't, because
so I haven't,
you would
if know what you're talking about. Yeah.
This girl, her story was like all over all the, you know, online publications last week. I think her name is Miss XL or something. She makes up to $100,000 per day through TikTok, because on TikTok, she posts 15-second Excel tips, and then you go to, you know, her website, she sells Excel courses for like $200 or whatever, and she makes up to $100,000 a day. She's got 2 million followers on TikTok. I'm afraid of the rabbit hole, so I don't keep it on my phone. So I followed her on Instagram, but like, it's actually really great content about Excel.
What is Excel exactly?
Like Microsoft Excel.
Oh, Microsoft
Excel. Like spreadsheets, man. Like that's
Excel. Like I'm seeing the big letters.
Like she's giving spreadsheet tips on TikTok and she makes millions of dollars.
That's insane.
And so, like, I mean, that's, you know, if you're thinking I'm too old or too boring or it's not for business, like, dude, this girl's giving spreadsheet tips. She's got over 2 million followers there. She's making millions of dollars. Her business is just her and a virtual assistant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts, man. It is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many ways to leverage tools. And there's so many out there. You know, I've come to realize now that we're, you know, we've been doing this for several years now that, you know, the solution was always like, okay, focus on one, you know, and be good at that.
Yep.
But I want to add to that. I want to update that to a degree. So yes, you've been hopefully you've been focusing on one and you've gotten really good at that one. Well, it's great to diversify, right? You've always heard that in terms of, you know, building wealth, diversify your portfolio. Right. Well, if you diversify the channels of which you, you know, provide value to, when one of them goes down, when two of them goes down, when something pops off, you're there.
Yeah.
Right. You have a presence already and you don't need to start from scratch. So that's a little bit of advice that I would offer here. You know, I understand and know that people see us, you know, the optics of it is they create and produce podcasts for clients, but I often shy away a little bit from the term podcast because we're always moving forward and we're always thinking ahead. And to me, the term podcast can become outdated because it's no longer iPods, right? It's evolved. Right. We all understand that. But the thing is, we create content, right?
Yeah.
We always push for the concept that you need to be consistent and you need to always be relevant and always think about what you're providing to your audience. So podcast, yes, that's just a delivery method. That's just a tool set.
Yep.
But it's really the concept behind it. The big picture is always creating content regardless of how you deliver it. But the podcast makes it so easy, right, Todd? Because then you do that.
Yep.
And then it's like all of a sudden you've got hundreds of pieces of content.
Right.
From one episode.
Yep.
So that's why.
And all it takes is, and you know, this is one of the things where, you know, you just have to, you keep putting it out. And like, eventually something sticks where who knows out of how many pieces of content that you got to put out for that one guy in California to see it and be like, oh, I want to start following these guys, and then start following them. And then you're there. And then eventually that one piece that just triggers, okay, now it's time to make a move and I'm going in, you know, I need to learn about this new project that I can invest in. And I don't know, do we want to do a little shameless promotion? I heard on Capital Hacking, is there a new opportunity for our accredited investor listeners?
New opportunities. I would just go to the accountableequity.com website and check out what we're doing there. There's always new projects to look into and inquire about.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear,
I'll tease it. Go check out this week's episode of Capital Hacking to hear what they got going on.
There you go, Todd. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. You know, there's so many ways. We've been fortunate enough to get into the Vaynerverse and the water stream, as Claude calls it, to really learn and really dive into things. You know, I was just on a call with them about TikTok specifically. That's why I brought it up. Because although I've been shying away from it personally, I understand it's something that I need to invest some time in so that I could speak to it. And it's become, Todd, I don't know if you know this, the number one video platform.
Oh, is that right?
It surpassed YouTube. It surpassed Netflix. It surpassed all of it because they created. So the average view of their content is 30 to 90 seconds, let's say, something about that. They're short, quick bites. Now, Netflix and YouTube require longer time, right? Netflix, obviously, an entire show, half hour to an hour. But then you have YouTube, which is, you know, whatever the average is there, I think it's, you know, it's over 10 minutes. You know, people are watching longer form content there. So that's also helping TikTok be the number one video platform, right? Because people just boom, boom, boom. Yep. So like numbers keep stacking because more people watching videos because it's in less time. But you have to pay attention you know, we have to pay attention now because TikTok is a force and it's creating business and it's creating all sorts of opportunities for people.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to leverage any tool set, especially if it's right at the cusp, it's right there. It's the most powerful. I mean, you can't, there's no longer a period of time here where we can say, oh, I'll just wait, you know, see what happens. Like with Clubhouse. Like, no, I was like, there's no more waiting. TikTok's.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now it's where to go. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Wow. That's great. And, you know, it just goes to show, you know, I always talk about the idea of like the breadcrumbs, right? Like nurturing someone along to stick around. And that's how we kind of get people into our ecosystem. That's how you stock the pond. You kind of put some breadcrumbs, lead people in. But to think that Netflix is having 30 minute show to a 2 hour movie, whatever. Right. And yet the platform with the shortest length of content is the one who has the most watch time. And it's because of those breadcrumbs. It's just bread. You're just chasing breadcrumbs while you're watching.
It's insane, Todd. I want to share here with people how things are evolving. So you think about content and you create the content, you put it out there. Now there's the next level where there's community management and the comment section.
Yeah.
So from my understanding in TikTok, and Rob's probably like, listen to these boomers talk.
I know, right?
It's like, so TikTok, you can have a video that you put out there that has, let's say, 100,000 views, but then you can have a comment that has exploded. That's 10 times bigger than the amount of views. And that becomes where everything is at. That's where the conversation is being had. That's where the relevancy and the brand awareness. And brands now are beginning to engage within the comments section, not producing content, but just jumping into content, going, me too, me too.
Well, you know, and I'll say there's something to that also that people have missed out in the last 18 months, I'll say, where there was, and like you said, when new platforms come out, that's opportunity to jump in and build an audience quickly because there's less saturation at the time, right? Like you said, Clubhouse, TikTok when it started. And there's your strategy. Look up, how do I grow my Instagram followers, whatever. And even we talk about publish consistently. But if you're on social media, like obviously podcasts, we don't have a comment section here on Facebook. You know, if you're commenting on the Facebook Live, you could comment there, but not the audio version. But on Instagram, if all you do is publish content, you're really not going to be seen by a lot of people. You need to go out and engage in those other places. And that's what these brands have recognized, is that you can't just publish. You need to go out and engage with people in the community, in, you know, whatever hashtags you want to be a part of, or what other influencers that are posting. But, you know, where's your audience and get in front of them? And you can't just publish and hope it gets seen. You have to then do some legwork to then go out and start engaging with people so that they see your comments. And, you know, it can't just be, this is cool, right? Like you have to have something insightful, helpful, practical, like entertaining, whatever, joining the conversation besides just like, you know, hi.
Exactly. I want to share a story that was kind of funny. So somebody posted a TikTok that said, hey, you know, share anything that you may have taken. Yeah, I didn't say stolen, but taken from like a restaurant or anywhere. Uh-huh. And one guy responded with a post of like all these Panera bowls, literally behind him, like dozens and dozens of bowls
at his house,
taken from in his house, in his kitchen. And he's like, "I'm sorry, Panera. I love you guys. I don't consider it stealing. And I love you. Please sell these. I'd buy them." And then everybody, a billion people, were like, "We would buy these bowls. We love Panera bowls. Why don't they sell them?" So Panera was smart enough to participate in this. But not in a way to condone stealing and taking from them, right? But in a clever way so that the community falls in love with them. Mm-hmm. And it was simply, store manager is typing, .. And everybody was like, you know, so they played the game. They got into the mix. And people love that. People are starting to really appreciate big brands coming in and engaging with them.
For sure. And to also understand the context of the conversations where like that's like a colloquialism.
Right.
You know, where they TikTok. Jumped in, you know, and said like that, you know, store manager's typing like that fits in the context of
they
the platform.
Understand. Exactly. You know,
that's so great. That's great.
So to that point, Todd, thanks for highlighting that, is you have to jump into these new platforms in order to understand the cadence, the community, how conversations are being had and what's relevant, so that when you do decide to engage, you could just be a fly on the wall for a while, right? And then maybe hire someone so that and you could speak to it to whoever you hire, say, hey, I understand this and this is the way it looks like it's going. And you know, maybe
and even to just understand the language and the slang, right? Like, because like you said, like right now, people listening to us that do that are on TikTok are probably like, these guys sound like idiots.
Well, because I've been hesitant, right? There's so many platforms and so little time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm recognizing it now. You know, our leaders and mentors are telling us to pay attention. So we're paying attention, and we're doing that really not just for us, but for our clients, so that we know who it works for, right?
Yeah.
We've got dozens of clients now, and we're like, hey, maybe this is relevant for this particular one.
Yeah. Yeah. Super cool. Yeah. So, all right, man, I think we dropped a ton of stuff. I always love our conversations when you come on here. We don't have a specific plan for where they're going to go, but it was, yeah, I love the riffing and I love all the stuff we got to talk about today. And yeah, thank you for hopping in. Always appreciate you. So, you know, you guys listening, you're ready to get your show off the ground for 2022 to build your brand, stock your pond. Please go to onairbrands.com and hit up Eric. Also onairbrands.com/show to subscribe to the show and share our content with anybody else you think would find it valuable. We always appreciate that and appreciate hearing from you guys. And we will catch you on the next episode.
You are now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast. We'll be right back.